everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Today, my guest is Trish Malone. How are you, Trish? How are you?
I'm good, Shannon. I'm actually doing great today.
Oh, I'm so happy for that. So if you would like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then if you just want to go right into your story about what brought you to your stillness.
Oh, okay, sure. I am a resident of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am a mother of two. Both of my children are adults. My oldest recently moved to California. My youngest is here at home with me. I currently work as a federal employee postal worker. I do processing the packages that you receive on a daily basis. So more than likely, I've touched your package at some point. And in my off time, I pursue modeling. So I've been modeling for about going on, I believe it's going on 6 years. And that's kind of how I met you, per se. Part of my model journey this year, I was a part of a billboard movement that was brought about by my coach that I have at this time, Tamisha Sexton, the billboard, Michelle's billboard movement. And that's where I met Danielle. And I know you interviewed Danielle just recently. Passion Align is that she calls herself. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me to reach out to you. And then that's how we got connected. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
Here you are. And look at you, you beautiful soul, you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All I can say is, I just want the audience to know that before I actually have my guests on, we always do a meet and greet just so we can get to know each other a little bit better. They know my background. I know that they're going to be talking about. And I just loved this lady. I just love you. So, yeah. So let's get into your story, my girl.
Okay, so the gist of my story, which fits in with what this series is about, back in 2017, I had a DUI incident happen. In 2017, it kind of started there. I had a DUI. I went through the process of it being my first one in the state of Wisconsin, but it just so happened that they had just passed a law that required me to have the breathalyzer put on my car. So that full year, I endured that moment of having to go through blowing in my car to get it started, having to pay, you know, penalties and fees and all that good stuff. I was actually at that time employed with the county sheriff's office. So they had to be notified. So in 2017, I got quite blessed that a lot of that passed. And so the following year, I went out. I had the breathalyzer taken off my car. And I actually had went to a friend of mine's house, and then she had me meet her at this bar. So within driving to the bar, I actually went through an area of our city in our downtown area that's a party part of the area with full of bars. And as I'm at the stoplight, I guess in the process of me getting ready to go across the light because it was getting ready to turn green, a pedestrian actually ended up in front of my car. So when I hit the gas, I hit the pedestrian. That really sent chills up my spine. It resulted in me eventually being arrested, and I was taken downtown and booked for 72 hours. That was a very awkward experience for me, being that, again, at that time I was working for the county sheriff's office, so I would see people coming in and out. I'm sitting in the booking area praying nobody notices me. Apparently they did. I went through a process of actually having to be in the booking area for a whole day, so 24 hours, because the officer had messed up my paperwork. I finally got booked, sent in, and sent to my cell. Well, because I was employed through the county, I had to be discreet. So they had to lock the inmates in, which would cause a different type of tiff or issue within the cell block area, with having them trying to figure out why they had to go and be locked in their cell. So it was very an embarrassing moment. And so the next 48 hours I spent in that cell trying to figure out how and why I got here. And in those 2 days of me reflecting, a lot of it stemmed to me, my personal trauma. So I come from a trauma area of where I was dealing with being an unwanted child. So I felt in myself because I was abandoned by my dad. And what I mean by abandoned is I didn't see him a lot, but he was in my life, just didn't see him a lot. And when I did have visitations, I spent more time with his other family members than I did with him. I went through a process of molestation for about maybe 7 to 8 years of my life that was never really dealt with family-wise or treatment-wise as a child. So a lot of the things that I had to endure, I basically had to endure on my own. And basically through prayer and faith as I got older to try to work through the traumatic moments and the many triggers. And I guess it just boiled over into me partying a lot on the weekends. I mean, I was a functioning alcoholic, if that's what you want to call it. I was a functioning alcoholic. I partied on weekends, worked Monday through Friday. And it just, in that particular moment of that happening, I was actually slowing down on my party life because of the situation that happened a year before. But it's just, it was a circumstance of where God saw fit that I needed to sit down and reflect so that I didn't go back into what got me there in the first place. And so since that journey, I have been working on me a lot. I've been probably the best part I think I could say is I've just rekindled or rebuilt my relationship with God, faith walking every day now, where I don't have to pick up a bottle. I can sit in the room and not have a drink, or I can go through a moment and not want a shot of this or a shot of that. I get invited out. I don't get me wrong, I didn't stop fully drinking. I know some people do. I didn't feel the need that I had to. I think part of that was the therapy that I went through. I actually had a therapist that he was like, well, he came from a background of being an alcoholic. He said, well, I still drink. I just don't overindulge. And I just don't put my problems in a glass. He taught me how to, as they say, mindset, get the mindset right. So where you think about the situation step by step before you go there, and it works for me. So that's kind of where I've been in my life's journey after that incident. I just, you know, focus on me, focus on my mental, focus on forgiveness, not just for myself, but for the situations, for the choices that I made. A lot of that plays a part in my day to day. So yeah, but that was my journey. And
I do have a question for you. So while you were in the jail, the county jail, for 72 hours, is that where you said you just, the silence there was where you just had a real,
yeah,
I wanted, that's where you reflected and you were like, yeah, okay, like this, yeah, is so where
I made it up to my cell, and I literally, like, I did not eat or drink for the next 48 hours. And I just put my head under the covers and just prayed to God, like, just get me out of this. Just get me out of this. I promise I won't do it again. You know, the same old story that I used to tell him, but it had a different meaning to it, because I'd never, forever in my life, had ever been taken to jail. That was my first time. So it was just something that I didn't want to make it a frequent thing that I go through. And I know I was blessed to not damage myself in the process. To be honest with, I did the initial back in 2017 when I had the actual incident. I was 2 inches away from a person's house. I literally could have killed myself and others. I just was, I was covered. What can I say? I can't say nothing more than I was covered. Right. Completely passed out, ran off the road, ended up in somebody's front yard, 3 to 4 inches away from their front door. And when I woke up, it was police everywhere. So just to say that I was blessed in that moment was his way of saying, now, I took care of you here. Now I need you to take care of yourself, because we don't need to keep having this happen. And so I don't know if the guards felt like I was trying to torture myself or whatever, but I just didn't feel like eating. And so they came up to the door and was like, Miss Malone, you got to eat something. You've been here for 2 days and you haven't eaten or drinking. And if we don't get you to eat, we got to send you to the infirmary and they're going to tube feed you. Well, of course, I wasn't about to let that happen. So I said, well, bring me a juice or something. I just was not in the mood to consume anything, but just be in that moment. So, and it was there that I discovered that, you know, I had a lot of work to do, a lot of internal work to do, and just be able to finally tell my story from start to finish when that time comes.
And you had mentioned you were working in the area of law at that time, were you not?
I was in the law enforcement area at that time. I wasn't personally certified as law enforcement, but I was working under them. So all rules still apply. As a law enforcement employee, you're still considered an officer of the law. So I had to go according to all of their rules. So eventually what happened with that is, because I got arrested, I ended up having to meet with my with the internal affairs, because internal affairs is who handles issues with officers. I had to meet with internal affairs. They had to figure out where they wanted to go. The information was then sent to the sheriff, who is the overhead of the entire department, and he makes the decision as to whether or not I'll have a job. Well, basic bottom line was I had to resign from that position.
Mm-hmm. So that would have been a real eye opener too, because that probably would have been a job that you could have easily advanced into more advanced.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry to hear all of that. Through all of your experiences that you went through during that time, because that was what you said, starting in 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a journey of what, 3 years or so for you? So what is it that you learned the most during that time?
What I learned the most is you have to face your trauma and you have to forgive the trauma. Right. You won't always get that I'm sorry from that person, but you still have to forgive, because that's where the healing starts. You have to forgive, and you'll always hear this saying, forgiveness is more for you than them. And it truly is, because once you forgive yourself, everything else will fall in line. When you forgive yourself, you basically forgive yourself for putting yourself in the situation, whether it's your fault or not. You forgive yourself for the decisions that you made in that situation, and you just forgive yourself for just not using the voice that you had, depending on what the situation is. And then from there, it's, you have the right to go to that person and say, hey, I'm in this position of healing, and I need this apology. If you don't get it, that's fine. You leave it alone and you just say, I forgive you anyway. Mm-hmm. And you move on with your life. The more you sit in it, the more it creates a problem. And that's where I was. I didn't get the forgiveness or the apology. I'm sorry, the apology that I wanted from my dad, but we still have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the apologies that I wanted from my molester, but I moved on with life. I didn't get the apology from my domestic abuser that I wanted, but I have moved on with my life. I still forgave myself for those situations, for those choices, because each trauma had a trigger that put me into the next trauma. And it was because I didn't heal from one. It's just like reading a book and not finishing a chapter. Like, you go to the next chapter and like, okay, apparently I missed something. So now you got to go back and read that chapter to figure out what you missed. So if you go and use the forgiveness as a chapter closer, then you're able to go to the next chapter and know that this is where it all started from. And that's what I've been doing in my life, is closing chapters and letting them be closed.
You mentioned three areas of forgiveness. And the reason I'm talking about this is because this, when you said that, I was like, wow. Three areas of forgiveness. You have to forgive yourself for being in that situation. You have to forgive yourself for not speaking up. And then you have to forgive others. You don't have to have a relationship or anything, right? Right. And when you said that, I was like, holy smokes. For me, with my past and my addictions and my abuse that I endured and everything, I found the hardest thing for me to do was to forgive myself for not sticking up for myself and screaming to the world. Mm-hmm. Like that, it actually puts a little, brings a tear to me when you said that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, yes. What did you find was the hardest part to forgive? Because mine obviously is, I was angry with myself for not screaming to the world.
The same thing. It's that, I think when the forgiveness comes, the hardest part is forgiving yourself, because you ask yourself, why would I do that? And because when we're in so much pain for ourselves, that, you know, when we go behind those closed doors, nobody knows that pain. And then we've got on this whole mask when we're out in the general public. It's harder to tell yourself that I went through this. And why would you put yourself through that? Or why would you do this to yourself? And you, when you can't answer that question, it really bothers you. It gives you this internal struggle as to, I'm so strong for them, but I'm not strong enough for myself. Because I found myself speaking up for other people.
Yeah.
But I couldn't speak up for myself.
I know.
It was because mentally, I knew what they were going through. I just didn't tell them that I went through it. And that's where the whole, when you start the forgiveness journey, that's where it all becomes easier. Once you forgive yourself, you're able to tell somebody that story of what you went through and not still feel the sting of everything that you went through. That's mm-hmm. where, you know, that's when you know you healed, when it doesn't hurt to talk about it, or when you don't feel ashamed to talk about it to somebody else to help them. And so that's the journey that I've been on, is helping people through my story. Even if it's not the full story, the part that helps them, that's the part that I try to speak on. I know eventually I'm going through things with my life coach right now, to the point that I'm able to tell my entire story and it not be a shameful journey for myself or the people that are involved, whether the names come out or not. I need to be able to tell this story because there's somebody sitting in the seat that I was sitting in before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, that's exactly why I had named this podcast, You Are Not the Only One, this series, because we are not the only one. There are hundreds of people out there that are going through the exact same thing. And it's people like us that are telling our stories so that they can be strong enough to eventually tell their story someday. So I absolutely appreciate you sharing that with us. So with mm-hmm. these people listening and that are going through what you have gone through, what is it that you want to say to them? What advice would you like to give them?
I think the main advice that I want to tell them is, get to know God. If you don't know God for yourself, get to know God for yourself, because that's the only person you can depend on no matter what. You can tell a human being something, but 90% of the time it's going in one ear out the other, and they're only going to remember the unimportant part, you know, and some might even use it against you. But you can tell God everything, which he already knows it. He just wants to hear you say it. He was there with you when you went through it. So he really knows your story. He just wants to hear you say it. And he wants to hear you seek the help that you need to get through it. And it's that's what I want to tell people the most. That was my biggest challenge in life, Prior to that is I knew God for myself because I was in church for a long time, but I went through a phase where I felt, as they call, the church hurt. So I turned my back on God for a slim minute, and it felt like I was getting punished because of it. But when we got back together in our relationship, he was like, I never turned my back on you. You just closed your ears to me talking to you. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would tell them. Get to know him for yourself. Listen to what he has to tell you. And if you can't talk to nobody else, that's what the prayer is for. Even if you got to pray out loud in the middle of the room with everybody listening, he's still going to hear you because he knows your voice in a room of many. So that's the main thing that I tell people.
Where are you now in life? You're definitely on the path to healing, and you know, you're doing great. But where are you now? What is it that you let the audience know?
I'm in a good place now. Things that used to send me to the bottle don't send me to the bottle anymore. I mean, I do still do, like, I have my ladies' night in my wine time, but it's not because, oh, I'm frustrated. It's just because I want to wind down. Just, you know, have a weekend to myself, kind of like a self-care type of thing. As far as, like, when I used to drink a lot when I get triggered by thoughts of what I went through. I don't do that anymore. I just simply address it. If a memory comes up, okay, you know, this is, it happened. You didn't speak out, but it's there, you know, and it's just, I just take it one day at a time. I stay prayed up. I don't overthink it. I let it happen. I just keep my mind open to there's more after that story. That's not me. That's not my only story. And so that's where I am now. I live life how it's supposed to be lived.
And I think the importance here is you've got self-awareness now. And you found that, and that's going to be your guide. Absolutely. Do you have any final words that you would like to say to the audience, Trish?
My final words, I would say just enjoy life. And for those that are dealing with, you know, traumatic things like we went through, whether it's alcoholism, abuse, or just feeling neglected, find your tribe. There's somebody out there that's went through the same thing, going through the same thing with you. Just find like-minded people that are in those situations. Only like-minded people will help each other. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have our group of friends, but every friend doesn't sympathize with what you're going through because they haven't been taught how to heal. There are people that have been taught how to heal that can send you to places that teach you how to heal. You have to find the like-minded tribe that wants to see you get better. So that's my big thing that I would push for people. Find your tribe, get in it, and just enjoy life the way it needs to be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. Very good advice. So at this time, I would like to thank you for being on my podcast. I absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. And I want to thank you for being on my journey.
You're welcome. I appreciate you reaching out. I think this was a good place for me to start too, as well as getting to the next level of telling my story. To be honest, this is the first time I've actually put it out there in the atmosphere where it can be heard by other people at the place. And that's only just what I told you is a small portion of my life story.
Right.
First time it'll be out there.
And I got to say, I'm honored that I've created a platform for you to come on and start to tell your truth. And so I'm absolutely blessed for sure. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
And I want to say in closing, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, and I ask that you tell your friends. I also invite you to my website, shannonmondor.com, and check it out and look at my one-on-one coaching and my Fulfillment in Faith program, which is a 6-month personal development and mindset coaching program, which will change your life. I thank you once again, Trish, for being here. And I want to thank everybody that's listening to this podcast. And I ask that you have the most amazing day. Thank you. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.